This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Miss Jones Baking Company, which is proud to present the world's first line of microwavable organic desserts in a cup.
Yep, I tried one yesterday. I tried the fudge brownie. I stirred in a little bit of oil and water, popped it in the microwave for 30 seconds, put a little vanilla ice cream on top.
June and I had the warm double chocolate. And that was my favorite. I've tried all of them.
So if you're ready to taste the magic, and I know you are, use the code SPILLEDMILK at missjones.co. That's missjones.co to get two free desserts in a cup with any online purchase.
Hey yo, I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And I just put on my headphones.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we eat something delicious.
Okay, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
It's very hot in the studio, and we are sitting next to a lot of ice cream because this episode is called something like nonstick frozen treats.
Yeah, so
meaning not with a stick.
Correct.
But I've made some executive decisions that I haven't told Molly about until right now.
Oh, no. Okay,
so,
tell me.
Okay, so I was thinking, this was suggested by listener Deborah. A while back, we did frozen treats on a stick, but there are so many good frozen treats that are not on a stick, such as ice cream sandwiches and frozen cones and other. And when I went with wife of the show, Lori, to Safeway last night to peruse the freezer aisle, there were so many appealing ice cream sandwiches and so many appealing frozen cone products that it was like, no, I cannot come home with 16 things. We'll die. So I've decided that this episode is just going to be frozen ice cream treats that don't have a stick, are not cones, and are not sandwiches.
Okay.
Although one of them is sort of a sandwich.
Okay, wait. And I would like to ask producer Abby, when she, you know, listens to this episode, works on this episode, to please make a note that we want to do an ice cream, like, cones episode, and we want to do an ice cream sandwiches episode?
Yep.
Okay, yes.
Absolutely.
God, I can't wait.
This is not going to be the last time we eat ice cream.
Oh.
Okay, so what does this mean? So this means things like Klondike bars.
Woohoo!
Snickers ice cream bars.
Okay.
Ben & Jerry's pint slices, a.k.a. expensive Klondike bars. Mm-hmm. This thing from Häagen-Dazs that is, it's like an ice cream bar that's sort of based on the concept of a Twix called, it's the Dulce de Leche ice cream cookie square. And so it's got like a chocolate cookie layer and an ice cream layer, and then it's enrobed. And
mochi.
Ice cream mochi.
Oh, I'm so glad you got mochi, because that totally qualifies.
I mean, it does.
We could be doing a whole mochi ice cream episode.
We totally could. But I just got vanilla mochi ice cream from the Mimo brand.
I feel like we should start with either the vanilla mochi or the Klondike.
Let's start with the mochis, I think, benefit from sitting out a little longer. So let's start with a vanilla Klondike.
Okay.
Oh, we should like get a cutting board and like cut. Or are we just going to take bites off
it? No, I don't want to bite off your melty ice cream.
Okay. Bite off my melty ice cream.
Okay, Matthew. Wait, but while we're doing this, while we're eating, should we talk about, like, in general, like, are there items in this category that we really love? Like, that you regularly buy at the grocery store, or if you're like on a road trip, you might buy them out of the like sliding top freezer at a convenience store or something.
Right. Okay. So I feel like I am most likely, this is the category of ice cream confections that I think I purchased the least.
Me too.
But I don't have a good reason. It's just like the sandwich or cone or stick format is so reassuring. That's what's on my memory lane. Like, I don't really remember having any of these things as a kid. Most of them didn't exist. I'm sure I did have a Klondike bar, but there's a lot of innovation going on in the ice cream sphere. They made a sphere, for example.
I had a Klondike bar for the first time in my teens when I was working occasionally for a caterer doing, like, prep work, like, you know, like stemming an entire case of green beans. This was in the summer in Oklahoma.
Topping and tailing them?
Yep. And this caterer, there was a guy who worked there alongside me. I think his name was Jay. And he swore that Klondike bars had the most delicious ice cream of any of this category of confection.
It's very good.
And so he always kept these in the walk-in freezer. And you know, we would eat them as like a treat after doing our work.
The ice cream is way better than I expected. Uh-huh. It's so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really like clearly they were going for max smoothness, as I always do in every situation.
I feel like the union of the ice cream and the Klondike like chocolate crispy thing is quite perfect. Neither on their own is really all that notable.
Way to stand up for the union.
But together, you've got this like crispy chocolate thing that like snaps between your teeth and then begins melting immediately. You've got this ice cream that's like a little too sweet,
yeah.
I think, but it almost gets this foamy quality as it melts in your mouth.
Oh, it's so good. I feel like maybe we're being a little like liberal with the perfectly engineered food product moniker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Designation.
I'll rein it in.
No. I was gonna put it out there. I think this might be one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to say, I could have gone like all Klondike because there are so many.
I know. I've had like the Heath Bar version.
Yes.
This is better. The original is like where it's at.
So I had one recently that was like a brownie Klondike. It was very good.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
The original is hard to beat.
I love the taste that is left in your mouth after you have swallowed a Klondike bar and the chocolate is still sort of coating your teeth.
Yes. Mm. Okay. So next up, we've got Mimo brand mochi ice cream. So mochi is made from pounded cooked sweet rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you've probably had a mochi ice cream, but it's super like chewy and kind of stretchy.
Mm. I love that this is now like widely available.
Mm-hmm.
Trader Joe's does mochi ice cream. Mm-hmm. They've got like a mochi ice cream like bar essentially.
Yeah, I didn't do
Whole Foods.
I didn't hit
now.
Trader Joe's for this episode. They've got some good stuff in this format, I assume.
I really like mochi ice cream, but I don't love this vanilla bean.
I like it. I'm definitely getting like, well, are you objecting to like sort of an artificial vanilla flavor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that, and yet, like, if you handed me one of these on a hot day like today, like you just did.
What's the powder on the outside? Is it rice flour on the outside of mochi? Mm, I love the texture, like the chewy, weird kind of like gummy quality of mochi against the melty, extremely cold ice cream.
So I think it may be wheat flour.
It's a strange texture for the American palate, I think. Don't you think?
The box describes it as deliciously squishy, which I
would call it gummy.
Yeah. But in a good way.
Yeah, in a really good way. I feel like this is a texture that, like, I'm glad that it's gone mainstream.
Yes. I feel like I want to start putting things back in the freezer.
I think you're right. Okay, let's put the Klondike back in and the Nemo Finding Dory.
This episode is brought to you by Left Field Farms.
Left Field Farms is that refreshing new dairy brand founded on a left field thought. just let the cow do its thing.
Their cows, unlike most cows in America, eat non-GMO feed for a simpler, less processed diet, and they can do cow things, and they've got to be comfortable in order to do that. And that's why, basically, if you visit a farm that's affiliated with Left Field Farms, it's going to be like a cow spa.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I'm trying to imagine what this would be like. Are they like, can I get a hoof manicure there?
I think so. I think you can get like a massage of your flanks.
Oh, ooh, that sounds great. And ticklish.
You can, I mean, I guess, what is a, like alfalfa?
I wonder if I can get like, get my fur curried and brushed.
Oh, I think when you said curried, I was thinking, it made me think of something different.
Anyway, Left Field Farm produces delicious milk from these happy, happy, well-cared for cows. And they also make coffee creamer.
Yep. So wonderful things come out of Left Field. And you are going to go into your grocer's dairy aisle and find Left Field Farms. This episode is brought to you by Canvas People. So you probably got a lot of photos, and you probably got some that are your favorites. What are you going to do with a favorite photo? Is it just going to like sit around in a folder on your phone forever and you forget to look at it? No, you want to make a beautiful print of it that you can hang on your wall and keep forever. And that is where Canvas People comes in. This is not like photo printing like you get at the drugstore that looks like crap and gets folded in your pocket on the way home. This is a beautiful inkjet print on a high quality artist's canvas that comes mounted and ready to hang. And you can import a photo directly from Instagram or Facebook. You can print a square photo. You can print a portrait or landscape photo. I ordered a photo that I took in Japan from Canvas People on a beautiful 11 by 14 inch canvas. It looks awesome. You know, I ordered it just kind of like, you know, here's a photo I took. Let's just see how it looks printed on canvas. I don't know. It looks amazing. It looks so good. Like, I am excited to hang it on the wall permanently in my house now. To get yours, you're not going to believe the deal that we've got. You can get your own 11 by 14 Canvas People print for free. You just pay shipping and handling, and you'll get a customized canvas print that you're going to love. Go to canvaspeople.com, and to get your free 11 by 14 print, enter the offer code MILK at checkout. That's canvaspeople.com, offer code MILK.
So how about next? Let's do the Snickers, or do you want to do the pint slice? God, I'll bet this was expensive.
Let's do pint slice.
Wasn't it? Look at this. This comes in a box like PG Tips.
It does. It comes in like a treasure chest, basically.
Oh my God, there are only three in the box?
No, like...
There are only three in the box?
I would have loved it if you kept going like, wait, I mean, four? No, five? Wait, it's a magic box. Yes, it's, you know, it's Ben & Jerry's. It's a premium ice cream product.
Can you open this? I feel like I would never buy this because it seems way too, I don't know how much this costs, but even just thinking about how much it might cost, it feels like too much. Also, this seems just a little bit too big.
I've definitely put away a pint slice. It was fine.
I've never eaten a pint slice. Oh, good chocolate. Mm-hmm. Better chocolate.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, I take it all back. This is great. Worth it. Worth it. Okay, so this is the chocolate chip cookie dough.
So.
A slice of the ice cream wrapped in chocolate.
Here's the thing about the pint slice, and this may be shocking, but I think you've grown to love that about me, that I can lay down.
Would you cut me another slice of that?
I was on a roll.
Stop.
Do I dislike the pint slice? Not at all. Would I eat a pint slice handed to me at any time? Yes. Would I choose to purchase a pint slice over a Klondike? I don't think so.
I think it's a better product, though.
Every ingredient in the pint slice is better, but I think the Klondike is so refreshing somehow.
The Klondike feels lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not
you
what
know
I'm
what?
Going for.
They're both ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that pint slice, that is the...
It's good. And this is the chocolate chip cookie dough flavor, which is the closest to plain you can get from Ben & Jerry's. Remember when they introduced chocolate chip cookie dough and like it was a real like pre-internet, the whole world went nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can they even do that? And the answer is they can do that.
This is so sneaky. So right on the lid, they tell you some like nutrition facts per one bar.
Okay.
They give you the calories, the amount of sodium, the amount of sugar.
I'm familiar with nutrition facts.
Then it says 12 grams, sat fat. Well, one serving actually has 18 grams of fat, 12 of which are saturated. That's really sneaky that they just put saturated fat on there so that people who are probably like, oh, wow, okay, 12 grams of fat, I can live with that. Or
I'm going to say something shocking.
Like you don't give a fuck?
I don't want nutritional information on my ice cream.
Well, I don't want nutritional information on my ice cream either. In fact, I intentionally...
Information about allergens? Sure. Yes, but...
No, I avoid looking at the nutrition label of most products.
But they put it right in front of your face.
But they put it right in front of my face.
Yes. Okay. I will agree with you that seems sneaky and also just like who
you
needs it.
You don't care. Okay. Hold on. Let's slip it back into the sleeve.
Slip it in the sleeve. Could you, what would happen if you made a sandwich of like a pint slice between two pieces of toast?
It would be dumb.
But
it'd be so dumb.
You know what else they said was dumb? Heart transplants.
No way.
I don't think so. No. I mean, they probably said it was hard.
We read the journal, like the published journal article after the first kidney transplant.
Oh, wow.
Man, it was really cool. Like
of the recipient?
It was just, I think
the journal article, like when you said,
no,
I was
not,
imagining like,
not like
the,
a diary.
The live journal of the,
no,
of the
like
recipient.
No, like a medical journal.
Talking about like, you know, I think maybe I got the kidney of a murderer.
You know, Matthew, we shouldn't laugh. That happens.
That you get a murderer's kidney?
And then you become a murderer.
That doesn't happen. I know. Like, I know this...
Joking!
That the rules of improv require me to,
yes,
to go along with you on the premise that people genuinely turned evil because they get the wrong organ. But this time, I just can't go there.
Well, if I ordered an organ, like a church organ, and I got a different organ, I would turn evil.
Like if it was like an octave too low or something.
Yeah. Wow.
Like the diapason was broken.
Oh, God.
Like... You know what I would do if I ordered a church organ? I would pull out all the stops. Have you ever played a church organ?
No, I want to.
It is like, I've played, I don't remember where this was, but like a classic pump organ. It is so satisfying.
Can you find a way
for us
to be able to do that?
Yeah, there should be something like karaoke only with an organ, but not. It sounds like we're talking about like genitals. But
do you think that any of our listeners have access in the city of Seattle to a church organ and they can get us in to play it?
If you're a deacon or a vicar.
A church organist.
Or a church mouse. Please get in touch. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. We would like to come play your organ. I need to rephrase that now. But do you know how to play anything on the organ? I don't think I do.
Chopsticks.
But it's not percussive.
Heart
so
and soul. Heart
okay, yeah, okay, that's
right. Soul, I fell in love with you.
Heart both those things I feel like are like too staccato to why am I criticizing like your choice of organ music when this probably isn't even going to happen?
Oh, it's going to happen. Okay. Our listeners, they really care about us.
All right. Snickers ice cream bar. I love it.
I love it too. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little almost too peanutty, though. But that's what a Snickers is. It's peanut forward.
Yeah, and the peanuts stay crunchy.
Mm,
this
really
caramel
good.
Stays gooey.
This often shows up in ice cream vending machines.
Yes,
and this is
a
solid
choice
all the time. God, when was the last time you saw an ice cream vending machine? That doesn't happen
probably
often.
Probably in Japan.
I've seen one in the States because I've bought a Snickers ice cream bar out of it, but I don't know when that last happened.
I know. Yeah, we need to get ice cream vending machines. That is that going to be our contribution to society? We're going to start a petition to bring back ice cream vending machines.
No.
And church organs.
Bring back church organs.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What is our contribution to society going to be?
I'm still working on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay.
Listeners, weigh in. Facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
What is our contribution?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, we're almost done with these.
Yeah, which is good because I'm hitting the ice cream wall.
I am too. That ice cream wall, it like comes up harder and faster than you think.
It really does. It's like we're crash test dummies.
Especially when it's 11:22 in the morning.
And this kind of constitutes lunch. Because we taped the BLT episode earlier this morning. Ooh,
this is a little bigger than I expected. And I was kind of expecting like bonbons. Hey, do you remember those like bonbons?
We need to talk about I did not see bonbons or dibs in the ice cream section at Safeway, and this surprised me, and I don't know what was going on there, because that definitely fits into this category.
June almost bought some dibs from an ice cream truck when we were at the beach recently.
But
she was super close to buying dibs.
And then you jumped in between her and the truck. It was no, like, no.
No, and instead she bought like this like Jolly Rancher snow cone thing. I mean, I let her choose.
Yeah.
But I was like, dibs.
Worst ice cream thing.
Oh, my fucking God.
Like the fucking SpongeBob with the like, bubblegum eyes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. June's friend Arrow the other day chose the Angry Bird popsicle with
kids will choose a thing that is just frozen food coloring on a stick.
Oh, children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. My partner would love this.
Yeah, I like it. This is the Häagen-Dazs Dulce de Leche ice cream cookie square.
It's like on a very dark, almost brownie like chocolate cookie. Mm-hmm. Dulce de Leche ice cream, the whole thing's dipped in chocolate. And I think it's too much.
It's kind of too much. It's too big. If they made this in like a quarter the size, and you could like pop it as a bite, it would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. So Ash is the kind of person who loves like a warm brownie sundae.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love brownies. I don't want them warm,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want them with ice cream. I feel like it's too much.
Mm-hmm. I tend to agree, except that sometimes I really like a warm brownie sundae. Also...
Oh my God, you just did this thing where you like flipped your wrist and like looked at me like, I love a warm brownie sundae. And it was just like, it was so cute.
But also, I realized my mouth was starting to freeze as I spoke and wouldn't quite form words. So it came out kind of warm brownie sundae. Like I was doing a little ventriloquism here in the studio.
There was a woman who was an acquaintance in Oklahoma when I was growing up, and her husband. I'm gonna go into this. Her husband,
please, we got time.
Came from one of the old money Oklahoma families who they're like some of the people who bought the Seattle Supersonics and made them into the Thunder.
Oh.
So this is like big.
On principle, I hate those people, even though I don't actually care.
Well, yeah, no, me too. But no, these people, you know, like the gym at my old like prep school, high school is named after them. Like they gave them money for it. It's like those kinds of like big money families. Anyway, I remember running into her somewhere, like somehow she knew my mother. And anyway, she and her husband had just gotten back from a trip to Hawaii. And somehow she started talking about his shoes.
Okay.
And she had this way of speaking, like while smiling, where her teeth like always stayed together like this.
Oh, no.
And so she was talking about Bobby's Gucci loafers. And I have spent like the past 25 years of my life imitating that as often as I can. Oh, God. Bobby's Gucci loafers. But she didn't
That's
have
amazing.
She didn't have a British accent. Okay. It was Bobby's Gucci loafers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get to see the loafers?
I think I probably did. Her husband frequently wore Gucci loafers.
That sounds like an expensive shoe. I don't even know, but
I don't know how much a pair of Gucci loafers cost. I come from a very strange place.
It's got to be like more than $30.
Like, you know, you think of Oklahoma as being like, you know, a vast sea of nothingness.
No, not at all. I think of it as being...
Trail of Tears.
No. I mean, yes, but Cassidy Square.
Yeah.
Pretty much just that. Nickelstown?
Nichols Hills.
Nichols
Hills. There is a staggering, like, I grew up in this, like, weird proximity to this crazy, weird-ass wealth filled with Gucci loafers.
Like wasps, where they're wasps?
Big time. Big time.
So,
like, men who were out golfing in their Gucci loafers, and their skin was, like, polished to, like, a high shine.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know, like, that tight, shiny skin?
Yeah, I ran across some of these people when I went to private school for middle school.
That was my entire upbringing.
So I think to this day, as a result, like, now, like, if I go to a museum and I see that there's a wing called, like, you know, the
Sackler wing.
Yes, the Esther.
Which is basically funded by the opioid epidemic. I could go on.
There you go. Well, that perfectly illustrates my point, because what I always think is, like, I look at the name and I'm like, oh, they're probably some kind of asshole.
Yeah.
And probably they are. I mean, no offense, if listener, if your family funded a museum wing, we take donations.
Thank you for funding that museum wing, so that I could
change the name
it.
Of our show to the Esther and Peter
Bing,
Slobodkin
right.
Memorial Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I would for sure love some of that Sackler money, but I don't want opioid epidemic blood on my hands.
Okay, me neither.
By the way, there's an incredible New Yorker article about the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma, and
I've not read it, but you know how much
listeners,
I love it when you recommend a New Yorker article to me.
Listeners, go read this. It is, I mean, I think, I hope
we'll link to it.
I hope by now we all understand the roots of the opioid epidemic.
Uh-huh.
But this will just throw you over the edge into rage and fury. Which is where we should all be about this.
It's where we should all be, like, 22 minutes into this comedy podcast.
Okay, I'm really sorry.
If you're not angry by now, you've probably been listening to this podcast.
Okay.
This is what happens when you eat a bunch of different kinds of ice cream.
Absolutely filled with rage about the injustices of the world.
When I think a minute ago when I said the Esther Slobodkin, I think I was thinking of Esther Slobodkin, the author of Caps for Sale.
Oh, I love that book.
Oh yeah, it's great. Years ago, when
you
give me back my caps. Yeah. Years ago, when wife of the show Lori and I were living in New York City,
Were you visiting the Sackler wing at the Met?
Were probably. I think back then it was like they didn't lean on you quite as hard to make the suggested donation, especially if you live in New York City. And so we would just kind of wander in.
I feel like they're still that way.
But there's been a lot of controversy recently about them, like, really, like, clamping down.
Like trying to really get you to put some money up. Yeah.
And we'll link to that article, too. It was probably in The New Yorker.
Okay.
And we saw that Esther Slobodkina was going to be signing at Books of Wonder, the children's bookstore in Chelsea. And I'm not sure if that's quite the right neighborhood. And we were like, we definitely need to go see Esther Slobodkina. Because, like, we didn't even know she was still alive, and, like, mm-hmm. and we love Caps for Sale. But then they had to cancel because she died.
Oh, God, that's so sad.
I know.
That's so sad.
I think, actually, like, she was sick, and then she died shortly after that, but it makes a better story.
Well, you know, I love that book lives on.
Absolutely.
So I bought that book when June was little because I remembered it from when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, I loved it when I was a kid.
And then recently I gave a copy to my friend Sarah, who just had her second baby, because I was like, this household, Sarah, needs Caps for Sale.
You mean she had a first baby and didn't receive a copy of Caps for Sale?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Now
I was like,
I'm angry too.
I was like, we're going to fix this. Also,
we need to
fix the opioid epidemic.
Yes. This is what you said as you handed over the children's book.
Yeah. I am such a fun friend
to have.
This episode was brought to you by Left Field Farms.
Left Field Farms brings you delicious milk from happy cows, and they just let the cow do its thing.
Yep, they eat non-GMO feed. They get to lie around in the shade eating grass.
This sounds really good. It's hot here, and I would like to lie around in the shade eating grass, but instead, I'm going to dip my cookies into a delicious cold tall glass of Left Field Farms milk.
And you can too. The next time you're in the dairy aisle, look for Left Field Farms. You can find us at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll link to all this extremely funny stuff.
and probably post a list of the ice creams we tasted.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like ordered by, like, our preference.
Yeah. What? Wait. Okay. So I think original Klondike was my favorite.
I'm going to go.
The sheer simplicity of it.
I'm going to go with a tie between the Ben & Jerry's cookie dough ice cream pint slice and the Klondike.
Okay.
Followed by Snickers. Followed by the vanilla mochi, followed by the Haagen-Dazs cookie square thing, which was just too much.
It was too much. It seems like it would be so good. I'm going to go Klondike on top, Twix. No,
we didn't have Twix.
Snickers.
Okay.
Mochi.
Pint slice.
And
cookie
thing. That's everything? Did I forget one?
Wow, the pint slice is going that far down?
I don't know what my problem with the pint slice is. Everything about it is good, and yet the whole thing for me just, it feels like kind of too much in the same way.
I love that we've like swapped places on this, because I started out being like, I'd never buy this bullshit pint slice, and now I'm like,
I think you accused the pint slice of being somehow responsible for the opioid epidemic.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I just want to, hold on.
Okay.
While we're ending this episode on an unfunny note, I also want to say that the opioid epidemic is not funny.
No.
It's not funny.
I want to be clear about that also.
Great. I'm glad we got there. And the reason why we're bringing it up on this comedy podcast is because I'm seething with rage.
Yes. As ice cream induced rage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Facebook. What do we want people to tell us on Facebook?
It's not something funny, please.
Yeah.
Something please. Like what's your favorite non-stick, non-cone, non-sandwich ice cream confection?
And how do you feel about the pint slice?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you said pint slice and not something else.
Yeah.
I found there's a coffee pint slice that seemed really appealing to me.
Oh God, that's perfect.
I mean,
that is like the best use of the pint slice because when I have Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream, which is the brand of coffee, Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, Haagen-Dazs. Sorry, you said Haagen-Dazs.
I usually buy Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream, but anyway, I always put Hershey's chocolate syrup on it.
Yeah,
yeah, the two they belong together. Yep.
You can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms like Stitcher, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Mm-hmm. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Long-suffering producer.
Uh-huh. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
You monkeys, you! You give me back my caps!
I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg. Hi, this is Spilled Milk, the show where we suffer.
Yeah.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.